If you remember as a child, and some of you are still young enough to even do so, we did something when we were younger. Our parents or whoever would blow bubbles in the air, and now they have these big ones where they blow these big bubbles, and you would chase them, you know, especially if it was a windy day, you'd have fun, you'd chase them, might even run down a hill and chase them, and a lot of times they would pop right before you get there, but if you'd catch it, and you'd hit it, and it's the bubble burst, and it's like you have nothing. It's like, oh, okay, now let's go chase another one, and there's nothing to it, and if you think about it, it's not a meaningless thing because the kids are entertained by it, but when you catch the bubble, there's nothing to it. It's not like you get a prize at the end of it. And we're looking in Ecclesiastes, if you just started with us, if you weren't here last week, we're looking at this. Solomon wrote this book in the Old Testament. It's right after Proverbs. If you flip to the middle of the Bible and go right a couple pages, it'll be after Psalm, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Solomon was a very wise man. Solomon had everything, as we talked about last week. He had women, he had wealth, he had wisdom, he had all those things. But he said, everything is meaningless. Now, he doesn't mean that in and of itself it's meaningless. It is this, that all those things are meaningless without Jesus. And that's the point that we want to get to. And so today we look at this, that he's talking about wisdom and knowledge. He uses wisdom about four or five times. He used the word knowledge, and we'll look at that in a minute, the difference in it. He uses it once at the end, but he says all of this, even wisdom, is like chasing the wind. It's kind of like chasing bubbles, that when you catch it, there's not much there. If you ever chase the wind, now if we see you in your yard chasing wind, we might call the authorities. If you're just out trying to catch the wind, you know you can't catch, at least with the bubbles, you might get your hand wet. But when you're chasing wind, you're just not going to catch it. And that's what Solomon says. If you keep trying to get wisdom, if you keep trying to get knowledge, and we'll look at everything, even more things next week. If you want the American dream, if you want wealth, if you want all those things, if you want to just at the end of the day have a lot of money, then Solomon says this meaning is like chasing wind. You're not going to ever catch it. And so as we look at it today, and as we look at this over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we want to understand this in the context that it's meaningless without a relationship with Jesus. Now, there also, I want you to understand this, there's a difference in earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. There's a huge difference. The earthly wisdom, there might be somebody who's very wise when it comes to earth. They might be very shrewd with money. They might be a good businessman. They might make very good decisions, but they're not wise in the sense that they don't follow what God's commands are. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God, the Bible says. They don't do any of that. So there's a difference in earthly wisdom and godly wisdom, but I also want you to know this. Here's the disclaimer. Wisdom in and of itself is not bad. Not at all. In fact, it's a good thing. Knowledge in and of itself is not bad. It can be a good thing as well. It's that when it's used wrongly or when it's, as we'll see in a moment, when the motives are wrong is what Solomon's talking about. Now, there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge as well. Knowledge is just having information on something. In fact, I could give you knowledge about a certain subject. I could give you knowledge to not cross the street because it's a busy street and you understand, hey, so many cars come across this at one time. There's been so many fatalities. But wisdom would be taking my advice and not crossing that street. There's a difference in wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom or knowledge might be, and I know we're doing The Biggest Loser, not knowledge would be knowing your wife has gained some weight. Wisdom would be not saying anything about it, okay? There's a huge difference. It's funny though, when you're a man, it gets turned around. And so I'm an open book, I'll tell you all that. I've got two pair of pants that I can wear, one pair of jeans, one pair of khakis. Hopefully in 3 weeks I'll be able to get into another pair when I start my diet. And now that I've gained 20 pounds almost since last year, Lori says I start to snore now. I don't know, I don't believe I do, but she says I'm snoring some. So we're coming home from a ball game the other night and Josie goes, you're snoring now. I was like, yeah, so what? And she goes, well, I mean, you shouldn't be snoring. I was like, well, I can't really control that right now, obviously. And she says, she says this, Jesse, you'll appreciate this. She goes, you snore because you're fat. And I said, how do you know? And she said, that's what mama said. And I just looked over at Lori and she just starts looking out the other direction. You see, Josie had the knowledge, but she didn't have enough wisdom not to rat her mother out. Lori was smart enough, and I don't care. Lori was smart enough or had enough wisdom not to say it. Josie didn't have that wisdom. She had knowledge, but she didn't have wisdom. There is a difference, okay? There's a difference. You can have biblical knowledge, but wisdom is living it out. Wisdom is living what God's commands are. We can know that Christ died for us. We can know that Christ came so that we have an abundant life and that we not fret, not worry about anything. We can know all that, but the wisdom is living that out. There's a difference. But Solomon says this earthly wisdom is no good. It's chasing of the wind. So let's look at it, 12 through 18. I'm in the NIV again this week. I'll probably go back and forth. The NASB, I read and then I lose it and leave it. So we're in NIV. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Again, remember, here's the common theme. It's under the sun, on the earth, that Solomon uses. Chasing these things are meaningless. It says, what is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned this too. This is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, there's the word knowledge. The more knowledge, the more grief. This is what I want to look at. Just a couple of things this morning is that, first of all, wisdom cannot fulfill you or give you significance. In and of itself, wisdom will not fulfill you or give you significance or knowledge. However you want to look at it, the gaining of knowledge, the gaining of something will not give you any significance or fulfill you. Remember, again, my disclaimer, it's okay to have knowledge of something. It's okay to be wise. In fact, we need people with knowledge. I don't want my doctor to not have any knowledge of the medical profession. Can you imagine that? Going into your doctor and those doing one of those commercials say, oh, well, I'm not really a doctor, but I just stay at a Holiday Inn or something like that. You don't want that. You want your doctor to have knowledge and wisdom. You want him to continually, or she, continually research and go to trainings and learn more things. You want that. We want. We pray, but we don't get it answered. We want our politicians to have some wisdom. Most of them don't. Less than 1%. There are a few. There are a few good senators, a few good House members. There are a few good politicians, but not many. Okay? And so we want them to have knowledge and wisdom. It's okay for them. It's not a bad thing in and of itself. But I want you to understand this, that the knowledge and the wisdom will not fulfill you. You see, when it's knowledge, the Bible also says this, that knowledge puffs up. It makes you arrogant. It makes you full of pride. The more knowledge you have, the more you think you have to know, the more you want to fulfill, be fulfilled. I love history. I love to study history. I love to read history. I like to go to history places. And I know I'm not, you know, I'm rare in that regard. But the more I read, I'm reading even a couple of books right now. One's on Andrew Jackson, one's on Alexander Hamilton. And I love those periods of American history. But the more I read, the more I realize I don't know. And then when I'm reading a book, it's like always there'll be one or two characters I pick up in that book. And I'm like, okay, I want to read a book about them now. And I want to go read about them. And I read more and more. And it's like you're never going to get fulfilled if that's your quest. To know everything about American history, even one period, you're never going to get there. If that's your quest for wisdom and knowledge, if you say, I want to be the smartest person at my job, I want to be full of wisdom, and I want to do all this in school, if that's your quest, if that fulfills you, it's never going to do it. Knowledge in and of itself, wisdom in and of itself will not fulfill you, but also it will not give you any significance. And that's where the puffing up comes in. That's where it says that if I'm smart or if I'm wise, people will respect me. You have to remember during this time when Solomon, having wisdom was a very big, important thing during this time. If you go back to Socrates and Plato, they were revered. Solomon was revered. Being wise was a very prestigious thing, probably still is today in most regards. But wisdom will not give you any significance. Knowledge will not give you any significance without Jesus. That's the point. That's the point of all of this. Solomon said it's like a chasing after the wind. You see, here's what we want to do. We want to be smarter than the next person. We want to always have the knowledge. All of you know somebody in your circle of friends that is that guy or is that girl that has all the information about everything, right? You talk about whatever in the world you want to talk about. You talk about Olympic diving, and they know about it. You talk about fixing a carburetor. I don't even know if they have carburetors on vehicles anymore. You talk about that, okay? They know all about that. You talk about shooting a gun. They're an expert on that. You talk about breaking down a cover two defense. They're an expert on that. They know everything. And if you're sitting there again thinking, I don't know that person, then it's you, okay? That's probably you. There is somebody that has to know everything. Because why is that? Because it gives them significance. It makes them think, oh, I'm pretty important. I've got the answers to everything. They want to be in the know. They want to be the one to give information. They want to be the first one to dole out that information and say, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? But understand what Solomon says here. Look at verse 18. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Understand this. This is a very, I heard this my entire life. About 5 years ago, it sunk in. Ignorance is bliss a lot of times. Just trust me on that. Ignorance is bliss. Because sometimes there are things I don't want to know. And people come to me all the time. Most of the time, they are sincere and they'll say, did you know about this? And I'll say, no, and I didn't want to know. And honestly, I'm glad when somebody comes to me and says, hey, did you hear about this? And I say, no, I didn't hear about that. I didn't know. Because especially if it's a rumor or something like that, I don't want to know. And I have no desire to know that stuff. I hear enough being a pastor that's real and true that I don't care anything about rumors and innuendos. So understand this, that knowledge, it's not going to make you significant. As Solomon says, with more knowledge comes more sorrow. The more you know, sometimes the more sorrowful you become. Solomon says, even be careful. Don't talk about your neighbors, you know, because we talk about them too. So be careful with all that. You know it's true. When you get older, you understand the more you know about people, the more knowledge you know about them, sometimes the more disappointing and hurtful it is because we're let down with what they do. Knowledge is not always a great thing, but if that's what we're chasing, if we're chasing it to be significant, if we want knowledge so that we can be in the know, if we want wisdom so we can be that smart person and we can be fulfilled and we can be significant, Solomon says you're chasing wind. It's not going to do it. But then there's a second thing I want us to look at. It is this, that knowledge and wisdom, some of the answers that we seek, we cannot find. Look at it. He says in verse 15, what is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. Now that word twisted there is, crooked is what the NASB says. What is crooked cannot be straightened. That word is a play on sin. What is sinful cannot be straightened. And what is lacking cannot be counted. In other words, you can't count what's not there. Look at it like this. If it's sin, we can do all in our power as humans to correct it, but we can't correct it. That's something only God can do. It's Sanctity of Life Month. The March for Life was last Friday. Abortion is an evil thing. We all understand that, but this is what we have to know, that we can't change it. Some of the knuckleheads in Washington could if they would appoint good Supreme Court judges and they eventually get overturned. But all we can do is pray about it, support the pro-life movement, and do things like that. It's crooked. It's sinful. It can't be straightened by man. That's a God thing. ISIS is evil. You say, of course it's crooked. It can't be straightened. We can't change their mindset. It's evil. There are a lot of evil things. Sex trafficking, taking these young, innocent girls and selling them. That's evil. It's crooked. It can't be straightened. But even if we don't go to that extreme level, think about it like this. You've seen it in your own life where you've prayed for somebody. You wanted somebody to do better. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a friend, and you want them to do better, make better decisions, and you pray for them, and they do for a while, then they make more bad decisions, and you think what is crooked cannot be straightened. Only God can do that. You see, wisdom and knowledge, the more we study, the more we understand that we're just not really as important as we think we are. And we understand that we don't have all the answers. It is chasing after the wind. He says, what is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. You see, we don't have all the answers. The answers that we look for, many times we can't get. I can't tell you why cancer happens. I can't tell you why Christians get sick early in life and die. I don't know why little children die early. I don't understand all that. Only God, as we sing about, we can't understand his ways. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. It's not just a sin thing, but I want you to understand this, that when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought sin into this world. This world is cursed, so we won't be able to understand everything because sin still reigns in this world. And when sin came into the world, it brought about a curse. So there are things that are going to happen that we just don't understand. But then the other thing is we can't get on God's level. We don't have the answers for everything. And so it's not only that our answers that we seek we cannot find. Here's the answer to it. If we'll look at it, is this, that the answer is God is sovereign and he's in control. And we're not. Now, if you want to flip with me Ecclesiastes 7, and look at verses 10 through 14. This goes along with what we're looking at today. It says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom perseveres the life of its possessor. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what is made crooked? There he says it again. When times are good, be happy. This is what I want us to hear. But when times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. I want us to get this point, that God is in control. It does us no good to worry about. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. It brings enough trouble of itself. We can't control our future. We can't straighten what's crooked. We can study all we want. We can try to get all the wisdom in the world. We can try to come up with cures for all these things. We can do everything in the world, but all this knowledge and all this wisdom without a godly worldview, without a godly perspective, is useless. And the point to that is that God is sovereign and God's in control. We're not near as smart as we think we are. But here's the catch to all this, because I know what you're saying. That's not really me. I don't think I'm the smartest person in the room. I don't think I'm the one that always has to deliver the information. As I was studying this, and I looked at it, and it just hit me Fridays. I've been looking at it all week, and it kind of come to me that this whole thing is a pride issue. And I know some of you are thinking, well, yeah, that's what I've been thinking along. Maybe you're just smarter than me. It finally came to me on Friday as I'm reading this, and God says, here's what it is. This wisdom and knowledge thing, without a godly perspective, without a godly worldview, it's all pride. And so if you say, well, you haven't said anything to me, maybe I won't, but look at it like this. If you are the one who has to always get the information out, that's pride. You say, why is that? Because you want to get the credit for being the deliverer of information. That's what it boils down to. If you are the one who always has to get the last word in a conversation, if you are the one who's always thinking about your rebuttal when somebody's talking, that's pride, because you value your opinion more than the next person. If you are the one who is constantly thinking, I'm smarter than that person, that's pride. If you are the one, when you read comments on social media and Twitter and think, I'm smarter than that person, I'm wiser than that person, I would never make those dumb decisions, that's pride. And that's what it boils down to. We have a pride. See, pride is what makes us chase wisdom. Pride is what makes us chase knowledge. It puffs us up. We think we're smarter than we are. Pride keeps us from having a godly worldview. Pride keeps us from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know this morning, and then we're closing. If you're here today and you say, I kind of get where you're going with this, but I don't understand this worldview thing, look at it like this. There are two worldviews in the world. There's probably more than that, but for the sake of this, there are two. There's a godly worldview, a Christ-centered worldview, and then there's a worldly, fleshly worldview. If we don't see things through the lens of Jesus Christ, then we have a worldly perspective, a worldly worldview. If we see things through the center of Christ, then everything changes. And we understand that we're not that significant. We understand that we're not that wise. We understand that we're not that knowledgeable. And all these things, it's like chasing the wind. If that's what we think is going to fulfill us, when we understand that, we understand that we need Jesus. You see, I told you last week, Ecclesiastes is an apologetics book. It points us to the need of Jesus. It shows us that we need Jesus. Wisdom without Jesus is useless. You can be the smartest person in the world, but guess what? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, when you die, you're going to hell. That's the bottom line. Because the Bible says, it's very clear that you're going to spend an eternity somewhere. It's either heaven or hell. You can be the most knowledgeable person in the world on American history. You can be the most knowledgeable person in the world on sports. You can be the most knowledgeable person in the world when it comes to medicine. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's all meaningless. You see, we take that. We want our doctors to be good, but we want them to use it for Christ's glory. We want our politicians, our teachers, our coaches, everybody to be knowledgeable, but we want them to use that to further the kingdom. That's when it's not meaningless. That's when wisdom comes into play. That's when knowledge comes into play, where it's a good thing. So if you're here this morning and you've never done it, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're a smart person, maybe you're a wise person, maybe you're a knowledgeable person. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, so far it's all been meaningless. But here's what the good news is, that God sent his son Jesus to die for all of us, not just me. He died for all of us. He desires a relationship with you. All you have to do is repent, turn from your sinful ways, call upon Jesus to save you, and the Bible says that he'll do that. If you do all those things. So if you're here today and you've never done that, this is what I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm encouraging you and I'm pleading with you to get this right. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is what I want to share with you today, is this. I know when we think about this sermon, we think, well, maybe this doesn't really relate to me because, you know, I'm just an average person. I go to work every day. I do my job and, you know, I really don't think I'm that smart. I really don't. I don't think I'm that wise. And that's okay. This is what I want you to get, that all of us have pride in us. All of us have pride in us somewhere. We all think we're better than somebody somewhere. We all think that this knowledge, maybe it's just you've invested well and you think, oh, I've done the right thing here. Maybe you've done something right and you are just a little bit full of pride there. That pride keeps you from being where you need to be with Jesus Christ. That pride not only keeps a lost person from having a relationship with Jesus, but it keeps you from walking with Christ to where you need to be. You see, that's what knowledge and wisdom. That's when we talk about earthly knowledge and wisdom, that's what that does. That puffs us up, and it makes us think we don't need Jesus. So here's the invitation this morning. I'm going to pray in just a second. Brother Dave's going to sing. Here's the invitation. If there's something in your life that's keeping you from where you need to be with Jesus Christ, get it right. I don't know if it's knowledge, wisdom, or whatever it is. Just get it right today. Let's pray. Father, we do love you.